So if you take your Bible now and you go with me to verse 10 and 11, again, Paul uses this word reconciled three times. Did you see it there? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. So I'm speaking today to two groups of people. I'm speaking to those who have been reconciled to God and you now have a growing friendship with God. But I've also been a preacher a long time and I've preached in lots of places. And I'm aware of the fact that every time I preach in a church building, preach to other places too, but in a church building, not everybody here is reconciled to God. Not everybody here is a friend of God. Some of us are born again and some of us are not. And the reality is just as you saw these children here who are below the age of being able to make a decision for Jesus, God takes care of children before that time. But we come to finally being at an age where we're accountable for what we've done. We know we've sinned against God. And because of that, it puts us in a category of being separated from God. This is a very serious thing. I asked you last week when we thought about Jesus becoming our curse, I asked this question, let me ask it again. If you went to the doctor and the doctor told you this week you had a very serious health condition, you would do everything you could do to try to remedy that situation. Now you come this morning and here we find in the Bible describes for us two kinds of ways people are living today. They're either living in separation and hostility toward God, and God is hostile toward them because a holy God cannot connect with sinful man. Holiness and sin cannot mix, or you are one who has found the joy of becoming a friend of God, reconciled to God. That's what the word means, by the way. Verse 10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. More, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And more, he says, we should rejoice because we have experienced the reconciliation. All of us in this room have had disagreements with people and we've had separations in our life. And there's nothing more powerful than the reconciliation of two people who've been bitterly hostile toward each other. That's what the word reconciliation means. It means two hostile enemies who've come back together and become the best of friends. Look, the cross of Jesus stands forever. And preachers and God's people, as we go and we tell people about the cross, it stands with an offer. The cross of Jesus stands with an offer. That's what Paul's talking about here. He reminds us of the condition of those who are separated from God. I just want to give you some of these words before I make a couple of comments. In verse 6, he describes those who do not know God, who are separated from God, as helpless. He describes in verse 6 those who do not know God and are without Jesus Christ and a relationship with him as ungodly. He describes in verse number 8 those who do not know God and do not have a relationship with God as sinners. He goes on to describe a word that's almost horrifying to think about. He describes in verse 10 those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and who are separated from him as enemies of God, living in open rebellion against anything that God says or anything that God calls us to do. So those of us who are here today who do not know Jesus, those of our family, those of our friends, I'm talking about an urgent condition. If you went to your doctor and he told you about your body and the physical condition you had and the serious nature of it, you'd do anything you can. So I hope that what will happen today, as I talk about the desperate condition of those who do not know Jesus, they are helpless, they are ungodly, they are sinners, they are enemies of God. Someone will say in their heart, well, how do I become a friend with God? That's what we want you to ask. That's what many of us have discovered when we trusted Jesus Christ by faith. So let me make just a couple of comments about this powerful truth that when Jesus died on the cross, God the Father initiated, now this is really important. You know, when two people are going to get reconciled, somebody has to take the initiative to get the relationship right. Somebody has to do it. God took the initiative in sending Jesus, his son, to take our place, like we talked about last week. When we don't know God, when we disobey God, we're under the curse of the law. And Jesus became our curse and died on the cross. So as we think about the cross, this is everything, folks. Look, this is everything. This is everything about real happiness and peace and joy. This is everything about what it really means to live life and to have joy. This is everything. The cross is everything. For without the cross of Jesus, there's only separation from God permanently. It doesn't last. So I want you to see a couple of things about how God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus. Those who come through Jesus experience restored relationship with God. First of all, I want you to see this, that the cross of Jesus brings an offer from God. When you see a cross, when you hear somebody talk about the cross, when we tell our friends about the cross, Jesus dying on the cross is an offer for friendship to helpless sinners. This is an interesting word, verse 6. For a while we were still helpless. You know, a lot of people today, I've spent most of my life sharing the gospel, talking to people, and you talk to people about knowing Jesus, and a lot of times people say to me, look, you know, preacher, I'm going to go it on my own. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to kick the dog. I'm going to be as good as I can be. I'm going to try my best to be kind to everybody. But the sad thing is, friend, we're helpless to get to God on our own. You can't be good enough. You can't be religious enough. You can't know enough about God's word. You can't be around spiritual people just thinking somehow it'll get on you somehow. No, we're all helpless. We're all helpless in our sin. Our sin has trapped us and bound us up, and we can't get out of it. We are naturally born to sin, and we sin. We wake up sinning. We go to bed sinning. We're trapped. We're helpless. And helpless people only find help when they come to Jesus. So we learn, first of all, that the cross offers to the helpless, the spiritually helpless, a way out. And that is through Jesus on the cross. Also, secondly, the cross of Jesus is an offer of friendship to the ungodly. Now, we sometimes have categories about people who don't live for God. We sometimes think, well, you know, those people are doing really bad things, and those really bad things are ungodly. But no, you see, any way you live separated from a relationship with God is an ungodly life. It's a life that is ungodly. So we must learn to be like God. We must learn to live like the Lord. The only way I can do that is by the help of God himself. Jesus died to make an ungodly person like me into a godly Christ follower, and over time to grow in holiness and to grow in Christ's likeness. The same for every one of you who are born again. He takes us in our ungodliness and in our helplessness. And when we believe on Jesus, you see, all I have to do to be restored to friendship with God and to have a relationship with God is to believe on Jesus, that what he did on the cross is true, and turn away from my sin and be willing now to live and follow Jesus. So the cross offers friendship to the helpless. It offers friendship and reconciliation with God to the ungodly. But he also uses this word, sinner. We talk about it all the time. You know, sinners, those are those real bad people that don't go to church. No, 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 no. Your location doesn't determine whether you sin. What is inside of you determines whether you sin. This word sin, we use it a lot. It's a word that is used in the New Testament describing missing the mark. It's falling short. So God's law says this, but we can't do it. We try, we grit our teeth, we make New Year's resolutions, mid-year resolutions, end of the year resolutions. We cannot do it. As hard as we try, we cannot do God's law, and we fall short. We get outside of the boundaries. We don't do what God has said to us in His Word for us to do. And we're separated from God because of that. We live as sinners in our self-focused lives. We don't think about God. All we're thinking about is what we want, what will satisfy us, and living by our desires. The cross of Jesus offers. Jesus died on the cross. God sent His Son to the cross so that all of us here who've lived separated lives of helplessness, of ungodliness, of sinfulness, can believe on Jesus by faith and be saved. And one last thing, the cross of Jesus, this is so important, the cross of Jesus not only provides for lifelong sinners an opportunity, but one last thing, this thing about enemies. In verse number 10, for while we were enemies, finally the cross of Jesus offers us who are enemies with God, friendship with God. So how can it be, Pastor Mike, that I could be an enemy? Well, you know, enemies are hostile towards someone else. Enemies separate themselves from those that they have opposition to. The Bible tells us all about this hostility that reigns. In fact, Paul said in Colossians 1:21, he was talking to the Christians of another church who had believed on Jesus. He said, you formerly were alienated and hostile in your mind. I can't say it any better. You see, here's what happens when you're an enemy of God. You hear somebody tell you about the Bible or tell you about Jesus, and you immediately say, I'm not doing what the Bible says. I'm going to do whatever I want. You hear someone talk about God and His love, and you hear somebody say, well, I'm mad at God. He shouldn't have let this happen, that happen. And you find people who are haters of God, who are blamers of God, who are resistant to God. Oh, it's all around us. You see, this morning, there are so many who live in our families and our friends who do not know God, who live separated lives of helplessness, ungodliness, sinfulness, and opposition and rebellion toward God. But what do we do? What do we do? Well, look at your Bible, if you still have it open, Romans 5:1. Here's the answer. Having been justified by faith. This is it. By faith in Jesus Christ, we have reconciliation. Look at verse 11. Not only do we rejoice that Jesus died for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God when we believe on Jesus, but look at this, we should rejoice. This is what we were doing earlier as we were singing. We were praising God, we were celebrating, we were exalting in the Lord Jesus because through Him, we who are followers of Jesus in this room have now received something very special. We have received, notice the article in your Bible, the reconciliation. There's no reconciliation greater, more sweet, more precious than the relationship between myself as a sinner and God being restored. You know why? Now I can pray. Now I can pray like Jesus taught me to pray when I believe on Jesus, our Father. I call Him my Father because I now have a restored relationship with Him. And because of His love for me, and I'm now His child because I believed on Him, I have this access and opportunity to speak with God about all of the things in my life. By the way, this morning, those of you who know Jesus, did you go do what Jesus said? Did you go to your private place? Did you shut the door? Did you talk to the Heavenly Father about your secrets? Did you talk to Him about the things that you need to talk to Him about? Did you honor His name? Did you glorify Him? Did you tell Him that you're forgiving those who have hurt you and mistreated you so that He would forgive you? Have you asked Him for leadership and direction today? Look, that's what opens up for all of us who know Jesus here in this room today. The joy is I'm reconciled to God. He becomes my friend. We sing it around here a lot. Steve leads us through this song. You know, we sing, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He is my friend. Being a friend, somebody who walks with you, somebody who doesn't judge you, somebody who listens to you, somebody who stays with you, he is your friend. So this morning, every one of us in this room find ourselves in one of two of these places. Many of us have come to know Jesus, and now we have a restored relationship with God. What could be more special, friend, than your personal relationship with the Lord in walking with Him and talking with Him? But some of us, we're helpless. We're trying our best. We're working as hard as we can to somehow gain God's favor. We're trying so hard. But friend, you're powerless on your own to get to God. You have to come through Jesus. So many of us who do not know Jesus live in ungodly ways, ways that don't honor God. Our lifestyle, the way our attitudes, ungodliness, not pleasing to God. So many of us who do not know Jesus, we're missing the mark in our life. We're outside the boundaries of God, the way He's designed it. Look, God gave us this word to guide us and to help us learn how to live a joyful life, a life of peace, and to have a relationship with Him. But sinners and sinfulness takes me out of that. And finally, enemies. Some of us have our fist clenched. You know people who are so mad at God. They need somebody like you to say to them, did you know God wants to be your friend? God wants to be your friend. He sent Jesus. Jesus died on a cross so that you might have a new relationship with God. So this morning, rejoice. Rejoice in the reconciliation that God gives through Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. And we thank You for this good time we've had together. We thank You for these dear parents who've been here today, who've stood in front of this group of people, and they have committed to bring up their children in the Word of God and also submitting themselves to follow Jesus. Lord, we pray for others in our congregation whose families are growing, and we pray for those mothers who are still pregnant, who still are going through the struggles of that, and for families and all the situations and circumstances of life. But Lord, we know that the most important circumstance is whether or not we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved. Whether we've confessed our sin and turned from our old ways of helplessness and ungodliness, sinfulness and rebellion, and we've believed on Jesus and His finished work on the cross, the work that He finished so that we might be reconciled to God. So if you're here this morning and you have your heads bowed, you say, Pastor Mike, I don't know what it looks like to do that. I need to know God. What do I do? Friend, here's what you do. You speak to the Lord and you say, Lord, I confess my sin. I'm a sinner. I'm just like Pastor Mike's talking about. I'm helpless to come to You. I don't know what to do. I've lived an ungodly life. I'm a sinner. I've been Your enemy. But I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And I confess Jesus as Lord. And I believe God raised Him from the dead. And when you do that, when you begin to do that sincerely from your heart, turning from your sin, the Bible says you'll be saved. For as many as call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You got to call to the Lord. It's not in a religious ceremony. It's not in something you have to do. It comes when you speak with God and you say, I want to be restored to You. I want a relationship with You, and I believe through Jesus I can have it. Some of you in this room need to come, and this is the time. You've been here for a while. You need to join this church. The way you start that process, as I've spoken to many of you privately, is you step forward, you come down, take one of the pastors, say, I'm born again, but I'm ready to become a part of this church. So Heavenly Father, we have many decisions here today. Some of us need to go tell our friends that they can have a restored relationship with God. God can be their friend. May we honor Jesus this week as we go. May we tell others about Jesus and His death on the cross. and his resurrection so that we might be saved by his death and life. Now bless this invitation time, Lord. Help people to make the decisions publicly they need to make. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? And as we stand together, we're going to sing this old song. Pastors are here at the front. If you need to make a decision, it's time to do it. Step out and come. A lot of people, but you come on. If you need to come, come on.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Anybody here?
All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
I surrender all. Come on, if you need to come. Trying to finish, but this is an important time. Friend, the last thing we want you to do is leave this morning in a desperate condition without Jesus. If we can help you, look, you got to step past your pride. You got to step past it. And you got to confess and say, look, I'm desperate and I need help. And everything I've done has failed. But I need Jesus. If you'll do that, friend, the Lord will honor it. We'll help you with it. Steve's going to sing, and when he sings this next verse, we're going to give you an opportunity to come. We invite you to come.
All to Jesus,
while we pray,
I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art
mine. Sing it, church. This is true. Sing it together.
I surrender.
Sing it. Sing it from my heart. Come on, church. I surrender all. Sing it from your heart.
I surrender all.
All to thee, my blessed Savior.
All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Thank you very much. Would you be seated, please? We want you to be seated and Charlie, bring all the groups on over while we're doing this. And Todd's getting our stuff. And Ryan, we're going to introduce these. Come on, teams that are coming on over. That's right. And so we want you to come on up. And then we're going to introduce these who are coming. And may the Lord bless you. We hope you'll be back with us tonight if you can. Come on across. And Todd will explain why all of these people are walking across here in front of me. But he'll say a word about it in just a moment. And so, Todd, Ryan, are you going to go? All right. Good, good. Amen.
Y'all rejoice for their decision. Just raise your hand and say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good.
And the second, here we go. There we go. It is working now. They do that to me every time. I think it's a running joke at this church that Ryan's mic never works. anyway, so the second one is very exciting. Our Lord is still in the saving business, and he is still showing mercy and grace to our people. So we have Amy Hines coming this morning, and she just wanted to let the church know that she has trusted Christ as her Lord and Savior for salvation this morning.
Good.
And seeks to make
good.
That public. So come on up with us this morning.
Come up there. Good. Very
so if
good.
You all also rejoice with her in that decision, just raise your hand and say amen this morning.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Good. Todd?
Well, church, there is a list of 30 missionaries getting ready to be sent. The team on my right here is leaving, and I myself and my grandchild will also be going. My oldest grandson will be going with me to Missouri to help revamp a camp that needs to be revamped before summer begins. And so they have elected to go, and there's still room for you to go if you'd like to go. The cost is only $50. That covers your transportation, lodging, everything. But they're going to Missouri. This team on my left is going to Cuba. There, half of the team will be going and teaching foundations that many of you know about. We teach pastors and leaders how to study the Word of God and put sermons and studies together. The second half, I will be leading, and it's an evangelism trip. We'll be going from 7 to 15 homes a day that are already prearranged for us. They know that Americans are coming into Cuba to tell someone about Jesus. And so we need your prayers, guys. I hope you understand the significance of these people standing here, not only these in the center that want to join this family of faith, but these missionaries that want to be sent out to go. And we need your prayers. And so, Pastor, I'm asking you, would you please commission these missionaries?
Yes, Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you for these who've come this morning confessing faith in Jesus Christ. We pray your blessings upon them in the days ahead. Many of us know exactly where they stand, and we have stood in the same place. We're unashamed to share the gospel and to say that we're followers of Jesus for our group that's going to Cuba. We pray that you bless them, protect them as they go, and that you would help them to see that all that happens is your will, and that you would direct their steps as they seek to tell others about Jesus in that place. We pray for our dear people traveling to Missouri, that you'd also help them as they encourage other Christians and help them. And then, Lord, as many of us will do in the weeks ahead, going to these 600 homes that surround our church, inviting these dear people to meet us and to come, we pray that you would go ahead of us in all these endeavors. May Jesus be honored and glorified, and we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Would you stand, please? And as you're standing, all these folks...
I have an announcement. If you turn on my mic, please. Pastor doesn't know about this. Well, first of all, Adam and Amy, would you stand real quick? They are part of our prayer leaders. They set together a prayer team for every mission trip on this church, and I thank you for your support. You're part of the team as well. Good. Also, I need to let you know this. You're going to have to exit out the east entrance or the Greystone entrance. There's been an accident down at the bottom of the hill, and it's one of ours. John Fellows, we believe, has had a massive heart attack, and he's a longtime member. Just please pray for Kathy. Their daughter's in town as well, and so we need to lift them up at this time, okay? So
let's, can I pray for them real quick? We'll pause and pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for the Fellows family, and we pray that while we've been here, we thank you for those who've been there helping on the situation. And so, Lord, we pray for them, and we know that you will help them in this situation, as you always do, and we call to you. And so, Lord, we thank you for the good of the day. We thank you for the challenges of the day. We're reminded that we have today and no other than so. Help us to live for Jesus while we can. We thank you for John, who he is. We thank you for his commitment to Jesus. We pray now you'd bless us as we go, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come by and say a word to these folks as you're on your way out. God bless you. We are so glad.